everybody. Welcome back to Banterbox, a review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. Each week, we will be reviewing a different production, whether it's a movie, TV show, whatever we're feeling like. And this week, we watched Tombstone. My name is Danielle, and here are the Mad Artists that I have with me to help break this down today.
Hey, everyone. It's Samuel.
Wow.
Nice.
Off to a great start.
Hey, everyone. This is Tyler.
Oh, sorry. Something in my throat.
Hi, it's me, your boy Russell, everyone's favorite Mad Artister.
It's me, it's Joe.
I can't believe you came in with that voice and you didn't say Lil Jon. Okay, so on this crackhead energy Sunday morning, so, John, this was your suggestion. So, obviously, you had seen it before. Had anyone else seen this before?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so this was new around the across the board, except for Johnny Boy. John, when did you see this?
I want to say I saw this back in, like, I've watched it plenty of times, but I think the first time I ever saw it was 2010 on TV, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I was talking to my dad last night, and he was like, I don't think I've ever seen that all the way through. Like, he knew what I was talking about, and he knew who was in it, but he's like, I've just caught, like, glimpses of it on TV when other things were on commercial.
Oh, yeah. It seems very much like a TV movie, so much so, in fact, that Candace and I could only catch it on DirecTV last night, so we recorded it yesterday and then watched it at 7 p.m., so we were fast-forwarding through commercials, like DirecTV style. It was quite the experience.
What do you mean you could only catch it on DirecTV?
Yeah, we just rented it on YouTube.
I got it on Prime. Nice.
That would be nice if one, if I had Prime, or if two, if there was this
YouTube Prime.
Well, I said I printed it on Prime.
Bleep this out, bleep you bad word.
Yeah, you bad word. Bleep
you
that.
Bad word.
I just want to actually make you like work harder than you have to. But there is such thing as YouTube TV, and there is a Prime membership. So you know what? Actually, go f*** yourself.
Great. Right, now she has to bleep that.
10:30. I'm sorry.
10:29.
Sorry.
Anyway, John. So you like the movie?
Yeah. No. Wait,
this is gonna be some weird energy.
I love this.
Yeah, no, I love this movie. This movie is one of me and my dad's favorites, and personally, it is my personal crockpot of one-liners.
Well, it's going to be, and probably is, one of Samuel's new favorites.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely adore this movie now. So, I knew a lot about the actual story of the OK Corral and Wyatt Earp and all that stuff. Coming in, and I was growing up a huge Western fan along with my grandfather. He kind of
Sam dressed as a cowboy for a solid 5 years of his childhood.
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yeah, there are pictures. There are it's really cute.
Pictures.
Okay, citation needed. Awesome. I really want to see that.
I'll text his mom and I will get the cowboy pictures.
Yes, please.
So going into this, I kind of figured I would like it, but yeah, I love this movie now. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was a great movie. Yeah, like, so awesome.
Yeah, I struggle with Westerns, and I told Sam part of the reason is just that for action to really intrigue me, it can't just be gun shoots, and because that's not really entertaining to me.
I completely agree.
And I also just didn't have any sort of historical knowledge going in. So, like, the movie's going, I didn't know it was, like, you know, actually based on a true story. And I'm sitting here like, when is the movie gonna start? Like it just kept going and nothing was happening. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, who are these people? What's going on? Like, it was a tough one for me. I think I ended up in a different place than I had originally anticipated ending up, but we'll get there. But this one came out in 1993. It was directed
by... You gotta get Tyler's thoughts.
yes, Tyler.
Oh no, that's fine. I'll see myself out. No, my initial thoughts tie into a genuine question that I have. I'm not a Westerner person. I mean, I am a Westerner, but I'm not a Western fan, right? I'm not going to go out of my way to watch a bunch of Westerns. So my opinion on the movie comes from a place of ignorance. This movie is super, super, super popular with an overwhelming positive response. A lot of people love this movie. And I can understand, like, elements of the movie that a lot of people would find really good. I just don't fully understand, you look at the production, you look at the cinematography, you look at the characters, like, the characters were incredible. But
oh, yeah.
I don't understand, I'm missing something as to why this is as heralded as the greatest movie of ever. I'm missing something, and I just want someone to explain it to me, and not in, like, a rude way, like, in a legit, I don't get it.
So here's part of it, and this is what I was explaining to Danielle, especially, you know, with the gunfights and all. I was very curious to see how they did it. But this movie is extraordinarily historically accurate.
Hmm.
Like, they went to great lengths to make this a very, very, very historically accurate movie. A lot of the lines of dialogue, specifically surrounding the fight at the OK Corral, a lot of the lines of dialogue, because it was in the middle of a town, that's what made the OK Corral shootout so famous, is because it was in the middle of a town with so many freaking witnesses, and it involved a bunch of people who were already famous at the time. So there are so many firsthand eyewitness accounts that they were able – the blocking of the shootout was – we basically know that is exactly how it happened, where they were standing, where they moved, how many shots were fired, the lines of dialogue that were said leading into it and all. So I think that's part of what makes the movie – what makes, you know, Western fans love it so much is to see how much care the director took in making it a extremely historically accurate movie.
Okay. No, that's. I mean, look, that's valid. Yeah. For that to be one of the big reasons for me, it was just. I guess that's the thing that I'm missing is that it's more of like a historical piece as opposed to like a strong like narrative with like a point I guess to make, because I didn't freaking understand Wyatt's character at all.
I did not like Wyatt. I hated him the whole time.
Everyone's like, oh, Wyatt, we love you, Wyatt, so much. You're the best Wyatt that ever done come around these parts, partner. And everyone's loving on Wyatt, but he's the one that's like, his indecision and his lack of will to do things and act is explicitly what hurt both his brothers, which is sad. But everyone's like, yeah, Wyatt, you were always right. And I'm like, I don't get it. And then the whole thing with his wife actively upset me.
I am so angry about it, and we're going to get into it. I vented to Samuel about this yesterday for so long. I didn't really like that.
As I told Danielle, though, don't be upset at the movie, because that's how it happened. There's actually some worse stuff that they didn't put in the movie that they could have.
Oh, I believe it. The thing. Knowing that it's more of a historical piece does change the concept of the movie for me.
Well,
that's why I came in without heat. Because I don't want to come in it with the same heat that I came in with Robin Hood. But that's why I was just genuinely if I'm missing something, let me know, because I understand that from a production side, this is a well done movie.
That's what I was telling Danielle about the you know, the whole thing with Josephine and his wife and all. I was like, you can be upset about it, you cannot like it, but don't hold that against the movie, because they're just relaying a story of what actually happened.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I get it. I get it. I didn't get it at the time, but I get it now.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Because I thought they were trying to make a point, like, what's a man to do when he doesn't know what he wants out of life? And I'm like, okay, that's kind of silly that he just decided that. And she's the scene where he's in the rain covered in blood, and Josephine runs up to him and he's like, get away from me, and she just starts crying, was objectively really funny.
No, there were a couple of moments in the movie that I wrote down as that was hilarious, and we're gonna get there.
Okay.
Because they were just really odd choices that were made And I thought it was really funny. So also, we're gonna get
there. As a pre-warning, I came into this all excited because I know a bunch of like the historical facts about it, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna be able to bring a lot to the podcast this week. And then Danielle has it all written down as her trivia.
Hey,
and I'm
for
like,
the record,
well,
he does
know,
not know.
I'll just
he does not
you
know.
To see it.
Hey, he doesn't know what all I do and don't have. He could have some stuff I don't know about.
Yeah, don't.
But I did look up a bunch of stuff.
I feel like every time I'm going to jump in and be like, so here's what actually happened here. You'll be like, yeah, that was in my trivia later. And I'll be like, well, you know, that's fine.
I mean, you can interrupt with stuff. And like, if it's in my trivia, that's why I pulled so much trivia.
Oh, I will.
Week,
I have
there
notes.
Was a lot.
I have notes to add in. So.
Okay, well,
now
this
that
movie
the rules
came
of
out,
engagement are set.
Yes, now that everything's been set. This movie came out in 1993. It was directed by George P., I think it's pronounced Cosmatos, and Kevin Jarr, and written by Kevin Jarr, and stars Kurt Russell as Wyatt Earp and Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday. You can watch this with a Fubo TV, Sling TV, or Philo subscription, or you can buy or rent it on Vudu, Apple TV, Google Play, Prime Video, or YouTube. Russell. The IMDb summary for this says, a successful lawman's plans to retire anonymously in Tombstone, Arizona are disrupted by the kind of outlaws he was famous for eliminating. And Samuel.
So our director, George P. Cosmatos.
Comatose.
Comatose. Had done a bunch of movies that I hadn't really heard of, but when you hear the name of it, it tracks for somebody who would do a movie called Tombstone. Sin, Escape to Athena, Cobra, Leviathan. But really the only other big movie he's done is he directed Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Oh.
Interesting. I believe that would be Second Blood.
Yeah, you know.
Yes, that would be Second Blood.
Rambo naming is very strange. And then our writer, Kevin Jarr, he's done a bunch of military movies, so he wrote Glory. He wrote a movie called Navy SEALs, and then a movie called Judgment Night, and then most importantly, one of the last movies he wrote before he passed away was The Mummy.
Oh!
Heck yeah.
You can say that one, Russell.
Say hell yeah, Russell.
You had 1,000 a day, aren't we, Russell?
He goes, hey. No. Yeah, no, there was a lot of weird stuff with the directors that I'm going to get into later with more like specificity, but it started out as Kevin Jarr being essentially like the creator, like he wrote it and was directing it, and he did the Charlton Heston scenes, but then aside from that, I think some sources said, oh, he just like left the production, and then a lot of other sources said he got fired. So I'm not sure why he got fired. All I know is that the cast was not as into George as they were into Kevin. And one of my fun facts actually said that when George came in, he was just a ghost director for Kurt Russell, and that it was actually Kurt Russell pulling all the strings after Kevin left. And Val Kilmer kind of backs that up. So, that's an interesting little tidbit there. But yeah, do y'all have any overarching thoughts before we dive into this plot here?
I'll say it before anyone else can. Val Kilmer freaking bodied this movie.
Oh my God. He was so good.
That was
so
awesome.
He was so good.
He was incredible.
He popped up on screen and I was like, I know that's not Johnny Depp, but boy, does it look like Johnny Depp.
I was getting some Johnny Depp vibes from his appearance for sure, but wow, boy, oh boy, he did such a good job.
He was so good.
When he just came in and he's just like, I'm your Huckleberry. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like we'll get to it like later on because there were a couple scenes with him that I just like thought just made him such of unbelievable character and like the way that like the role like was being done. But a little overarching thought. It took me all of like 30 minutes to realize I was like, this is a historical piece. Got it. I understand how to approach this movie now. I understand how to think of this movie, but because at first I was thinking it was just a movie and I was like, man, they're really throwing you in and I don't know what's going on. I was like, okay. but then after like about like 20 or 30 minutes, I was like, okay. So it's historically accurate. Cool. Okay. Now I know like what lens to look at this from.
Yeah. I mean, that's what that whole, like, opening, like, sequence is. It's trying to get you and tell you, it's a little prologue to where it's chucking you in at in the middle of the story.
Well, see, okay, so I'm an idiot, and when that prologue was going on, my I don't like history brain just tuned out, and I straight up was just like, I think I was like texting Sam or something, and I was just like, I'm starting the movie. And so I missed like the whole prologue. And it, so like the movie starts and there's all these characters, and like I'd heard the name Doc Holliday in the prologue, but for all I knew, that wasn't like real footage or anything. Like, you know, because some movies will do that where they'll be like, ah, yes. And then back in the day, there was this person. And I'm like, oh, okay, but it's not an actual historical movie. So I didn't realize one, that he had tuberculosis until like 30 minutes in. And then I was like, finally, and that was like finally an explanation for why he's pouring sweat. And then I didn't realize it was a historical movie until like over an hour in. I was sitting there just like, well, this is an odd movie. And then I like, at some point, I think I was looking up like actors, cause I was trying to nail down where I recognized everybody from. And it was suddenly like Tombstone True Story was in the Google search, and I was like,
That's so funny.
So I went in a very weird position, and that probably affected my feelings on the movie as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they explain all of that situation in the prologue.
Yeah, it was, I definitely should have known, and I blame myself for not paying attention, but for the record, in history class, people would put on videos like that, and I would just tune out, so my brain said, oh, it's one of those again, and just stopped watching.
And then she got really mad at John. It's like, you did this to me. I'm back in history class.
I was like, John,
class.
Are you just going
to
make me watch a historical video for 2.5 hours? What a prank.
God, I just love this movie.
Pranked.
Get pranked. Yeah, so in 1879, members of an outlaw gang known to wear red sashes called the Cowboys, led by Curly Bill, oh God, how do you say his last name?
Brocious?
Yeah. Ride into a Mexican town and interrupt a local police officer's wedding. They then proceed to massacre the assembled policemen in retribution for killing two of their fellow gang members. Shortly before being shot, a local priest warns them that their acts of murder and savagery will be avenged, referencing the biblical Fourth Horseman. So that was where I was like, I had no clue this was a historical movie. I just saw Western, and like when they started talking about the Fourth Horseman, I kept looking like throughout the rest of the movie. I was like, okay, well, I guess Wyatt's gonna be the Fourth Horseman, but like he's taken a long time to get there. That was just my personal opinion, but
yeah, I didn't say anything.
Right.
But, like, yeah, it was because of that I realized. I was just like, okay, logically, like the thing to do as a character is like to like is to just like jump in and just be like, well, I've done this job before. I've done it once. I'll do it again. But then, you know, he didn't, and it just like kept on pushing and pushing and pushing until like his family like had to get him in because like he just did not want any part in it, like truly any part of it. Like until like blood was spilled, he still didn't want part of it. Like,
it drove me so crazy, like his whole like, nah, y'all got involved, I'm just gonna be mad about it. And then it was like the next day, not that much had changed yet, and then he just goes, all right, you better swear me in. And I'm like, wait, what changed though? Like, nothing's different.
Fine, I'll be the sheriff. You've convinced me.
You've convinced me by not talking to me for 12 hours.
Yeah. It was that part was a little wacky. That, and apparently I did a little bit of research myself, and apparently the only thing, or one of the ways that this movie kind of had veered off the path of accuracy is the fact that Wyatt wasn't the cowboy superhero that you would have him believe.
Anyway. You want Wyatt Earp to really believe that he was the cowboy superhero. Yeah,
I know. I really want him to know that. It's just, it's so important to me. No, he wasn't as
good natured of an individual, apparently, as history would as that movie would have you believe. There we go. That's English.
That's what I was telling Danielle too. The movie didn't even have
me believe that.
That's what I was telling Danielle. I was like, the Earps were known for not being like nice people. Like, that's the whole thing about the movie. I was like, at the OK Corral, they were objectively on the side of justice in everything that went on in Tombstone. But that doesn't mean that they were the heroes or that they were good people, because they definitely weren't.
Yeah, that's
wild. They just so happened to make better money serving the lawman role than the outlaw role.
I do, however, very greatly appreciate the opening scene where they're trying to get you, where they're trying to introduce you to Wyatt. Not the opening scene, but one of the first scenes with him, where he just walks up to this bully in the middle.
Oh my gosh.
And he just starts smacking him across the face.
I loved it so much. Because awesome. the guy's hitting the horse, and Wyatt just walks up, takes it, whacks him with it, and goes, "Hurts, doesn't it?" And just like sends him away.
Well, that's not even what I was talking about. I was talking about that part was great. When he goes to the poker hall and there's the guy who's like bullying everyone and he just starts smacking him. He's like, shoot me. And he keeps smacking him across the face left and right.
Apparently that scene was completely ad-libbed.
That's awesome.
They told the guy to just be a bully and that like Wyatt was going to, you know, the Kurt Russell as Wyatt was going to like confront him. But all they told him was go be a bully.
And it looked like he actually smacked him. Which is great because
them.
I mean, he was hitting him light enough that it wouldn't have really hurt that much.
Yeah,
so it would make sense. But
the thing is, right? Like, so you're an actor, right? And you're not that big. You're trying to make a name for yourself, and you're working with. Oh my God, I'm working with Kurt Russell. Oh, this is gonna be my ship has come in. Right? You're all excited. And then Kurt Russell just comes in and starts yelling at you and smacking you. And you're just like, is this what acting is supposed to be? Because I don't like it.
Why are you yelling at me?
Well, that also explains why his tail was so tucked between his legs for that whole scene.
He was so scared, and I don't blame him.
Because he was like, Kurt Russell's yelling at me, and I don't know what to do.
Oh, to be that guy's like wife or therapist.
Imagine the
wife and therapist.
Wife and therapist.
Still wakes up in the night screaming, no, Kurt, no.
Stop hitting me, please. They called cut an hour ago.
Anyway.
That reminds me of the Travis Willingham in Secondhand Lions story.
Oh my gosh, where he just got full on smashed.
So in Secondhand Lions, Robert Duvall didn't realize that Travis Willingham was an actor, not a stuntman. So he kept hitting him in the scenes, and Travis kept being like, sir, I'm not a stuntman. I'm an actor, and he just kept punching him in the face.
Google Travis Willingham gets punched by Robert Duvall.
It's amazing. I didn't realize he was in that movie till we did it for the podcast, and I was like, that is definitely Travis Willingham.
That's so funny.
Anyways, moving on.
Anyway, so let's actually meet Wyatt. So Wyatt Earp, a retired peace officer with a notable reputation, reunites with his brothers Virgil and Morgan in, is it Tucson? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Tucson.
Okay, mm-hmm. Tucson, Arizona, where they venture on toward Tombstone to settle down. There they encounter Wyatt's longtime friend, Doc Holliday, who is seeking relief in the dry climate from his worsening tuberculosis. Josephine Marcus, and Mr. Fabian are also newly arrived with the traveling theater troupe. Meanwhile, Wyatt's common law wife, what? Hold on, Samuel, explain this to me.
Okay, so common law wife is a thing. It's actually can still be a thing in certain states where basically if you live together and like are together for long enough, I think back in the day it was for 1 year, then legally you became married, but like you didn't have a wedding ceremony or anything. So it was
that's what my grandparents are for what it's worth.
Yep. So it's a common law marriage where basically you're together long enough that the state just recognizes you as a couple.
Well, I know what common law is. What I'm saying is, Samuel, like, I didn't know this. I didn't know that that was like how they got married.
So they didn't
know
have a
what
wedding.
Common well, law and, is.
So there's a couple of things. There's a couple of things with this. A couple of interesting things. So first off, Maddie Blaylock.
Also, Sam had the nerve last night to be like she should have seen it coming.
No, hang on.
Like,
let me explain this, Danielle. Okay, before you jump in.
This podcast is great.
This does not excuse Wyatt Earp. That being
said, it does not.
Maddie Blaylock is his second wife, and how he came about marrying her, you know, getting with her over his first wife, is almost identical to what happens with Josephine versus Maddie. He met Maddie Blaylock when he was married and she was a prostitute in Kansas. And they got together and they started doing their thing. And then he left his wife behind and traveled with her. And then his wife shortly died. And then same thing in this. Shortly after the events of this movie, just a couple of months after, Maddie Blaylock committed suicide.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So let's all love Wyatt Earp and cheer for him.
It's basically the same story twice. It's basically the same story twice.
Right.
In terms of what happens with Josephine taking over Maddie's role is basically what happened with Maddie taking over his first wife's role.
It's just like George Lucas said, history rhymes or something like that.
And so then the other interesting thing with Josephine coming into town is she, in her later life, she became very protective over her role and everything and like very kind of secretive about it. She had so like it was really hard to find records about her beyond what she said happened. So the whole her coming in as an actress thing is her story. There are some brief historical records that tend to say that she was just a traveling prostitute at the time as well.
Prostitute.
Wyatt has a type.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know.
Russell's like, I mean, same.
I mean, listen, you guys, if I'm traveling through Tombstone and a pretty girl is singing it and says, you want my service, honey? I'm not going to say no. Look, I'm just a man. I have simple desires.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, Candace, thank you for tuning in. We're...
No, she doesn't watch podcasts.
You know, watch the podcast.
Met, actually.
She's not a fan of my work.
Yeah, she hates me. I'm sorry. We need to get back to the podcast. This is going to be 3 hours long.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. So his common law wife, Maddie Blaylock, is becoming dependent on laudanum, which I didn't know what laudanum was when they first mentioned it. And then when she started like tripping out, I was like, hold on. And I looked it up and it was like, it's a mixture of opium. And I was like, oh no. Like,
I saw her like sipping on that thing and I was just like, oh my God. I was like, she is going to die. Like she's straight up going to die. She was like freaking out. Like, oh my gosh. God. I was so worried about that character. But why?
And she did die by way of of opium suicide.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Overdosed on opiates.
But it was
we're supposed
how
to
he
cheer
left her
for
that was
Wyatt
great.
At the end. We're supposed to cheer for him and his weird ending.
Hey, follow your dreams and get your wife to overdose. That's all I'm saying. That's
that
the
is
premise
not
of the
moral.
The tagline of the movie. I watched it.
Follow your dreams, make your wife overdose. Tombstone.
That is not the moral.
Sarah, would you like some more opium, sweetie?
Oh my God.
No.
All right.
This is what Wyatt Earp told me to do.
Jesus. Okay.
I think I'm on opium.
No, through this whole thing, I told Samuel, I was like, I wasn't really rooting for anybody except for Virgil and Morgan. Like, they were the only people that I genuinely liked in the movie. I was like, they're like good guys and they seem very like kind and caring.
I'm in a very similar boat.
And I'm like, all right.
That's the thing. Like, it's a lot of, there's a lot of very, like, morally questionable characters, but those two are, like, the centerpieces of, like, these guys are more or less good-natured to a degree.
Yeah. Like, I've wanted nothing but the best for them. And then it's like, oh, well, watch them get, like, just wrecked. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, movie. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I hated when Moore got shot by the lightning.
What?
When Moore got shot, they timed the gunshot with the lightning.
Perfectly and I with was the lightning.
I was He's trying to be joke. Silly, but the silence was awesome.
It wasn't funny.
Obviously. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I'm writing them down this week so I can find them earlier. Easier, I meant not earlier.
Oh man.
Okay, well, Wyatt and his brothers begin to profit from a stake in a gambling emporium and saloon when they have their first encounter with the cowboys. And that's the whole crazy Kurt Russell, please stop hitting me scene. As tensions rise, Wyatt is pressured to help rid the town of the cowboys, though he is no longer a lawman. Curly Bill begins shooting at the sky after a visit to an opium den and is told by Marshal Fred White to relinquish his firearms. Curly Bill instead shoots the marshal dead and is forcibly taken into custody by Wyatt, which it was an accident, even historically. So,
Danielle, are you going to steal my thunder here or should I go ahead?
You can go ahead.
All right. So, in the trial of Curly Bill, Wyatt Earp actually defended him on the stand that it was an accident. Even Fred White, who he actually lived a little longer than they showed in the movie, on his deathbed swore that it was an accident, that it was while he was handing over his guns that it accidentally went off.
Really?
Yep. And in the trial, Wyatt Earp defended him on the stand saying that he was innocent.
So why movie man try and make it not like that? Because it's
a little more interesting because Curly Bill's kind of the villain.
But it was an accident, in the movie.
Even in the movie, they show it as an accident. They didn't make it as explicit, but, like, nobody really ever accuses him of murder.
No, because he was handing it over, and it, like, swung and shot at him. And even Curly Bill, like, didn't understand. He was like, come on, man, get up. Like, you know, he was like, what's going on?
See, I totally didn't get that at all. I thought he was like acting more high and opiumed than he actually was. And that he ended up like he was trying to shoot him because he was cracked out or something like that. But so that didn't read for me, but I'm also an idiot.
Fair. Yeah, no, it was an accident on all accounts. So he goes into custody. The arrest infuriates Ike Clanton and the other cowboys. Curly Bill stands trial but is found not guilty due to a lack of witnesses, which obviously isn't historically accurate.
Historically, all the witnesses were on his side.
Yeah. Virgil, unable to tolerate lawlessness, becomes the new marshal and imposes a weapons ban within the city limits. This leads to a gunfight at the OK Corral in which Billy Clanton and the McClary brothers are killed.
Hold up.
Did you hear that, liberals? Yeah.
That was a big skip of
we skipped a bunch of stuff, so
so I got some historical stuff that's really funny.
All right, go in.
So Ike Clanton, who is kind of the one who kind of instigated everything that led to the OK Corral shootout, according to all reports at the time, was absolutely sloshed when he was like threatening the Earps and when he had his little fight with Doc and all of that. He was absolutely hammered. Which was all the evening before the shootout. And the next day, claimed to not remember any of it. So when everybody told him, basically everybody came to him and said, hey, you challenged the Earps to a gunfight today out in the street. And he said, I did what now?
Wow.
He said, I thought I dreamt that.
Yeah. So he was so drunk in everything leading up to it that he doesn't remember any of the events that basically led to the actual shootout. And all the threats that he made weren't actually to the people themselves. It was he made them to other people who then went and instigated and told the Earps, oh, Ike Clanton wants to fight y'all. Y'all better get out there.
Wow.
Essentially. And then there's this awesome line. There's this awesome line that was said that I can't believe they didn't put in the movie. Because Doc, you know, Doc had his little fight with Ike Clanton and all, and then went on his merry way. And the next morning, the hotel manager woke him up to tell him that, you know, oh, Ike wants to fight y'all today. And supposedly, this is what he said in real life. Doc's response to being told that was, if God will let me live to put my clothes on, he'll see me in the street.
Nice.
Holy crap.
I cannot believe they didn't put that in the movie.
That's Doc Holliday is wild. So
freaking awesome.
What a freaking man.
You bet that I'm going to have a D&D character based off of Doc Holliday at some point.
That actually would be incredible to watch.
That character just stunned me from beginning to end. He's just going to be on screen.
It's going to be a very thinly veiled character remake where the name is just Schmock Schmolliday.
Yeah. Also, they didn't really, and I don't know how much y'all know about Doc Holliday, but one of the funniest things about Doc Holliday to me historically is that this guy was a normal dentist. Like, he was just a dentist. That's all he was. And then he got diagnosed with tuberculosis and was like, well, fine, I'm going to go live my life for the next 5 years, essentially. So all this is his just like, before I die, I want to have fun.
That's so awesome.
And that's when Doc Holliday became famous, was after he quit being a dentist because he got diagnosed with tuberculosis.
I'm going to help you out, Russell. I think you should make a lizard person D&D character that's reflavored as more of like a crocodile, and it'll be Croc Holliday.
Croc Holliday, perfect.
Brilliant.
Oh boy. All
right, so anyway, Cowboys.
Earth Elemental Rock Holiday.
No, yeah. This big jump as well is where the romance occurs between Wyatt Josephine. Here's the thing. I honestly don't think the romance was super, super cringy. I definitely hate the fact that it seemed like Wyatt was just like, I like this girl, and like, I'm really gonna do like everything in my power to like accidentally like run into her. But like, it wasn't learning about like the live-in wife. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, common law wife.
Mail order.
About his mail order bride, his common law wife. You know, like, that makes sense to me. Like, even like in just like a little bit. I'm not saying that, you know, like, oh, it's totally okay. You know, like, you should just like, you know, let your wife just. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm trying not to curse. Jeez. Write it down, Danielle. I'm sorry.
I'm writing it down.
Just let your wife drink opium all day and just be high all the time and never try and help her and never try and spend any time with her. Let her just stay in the hotel. But, like, you know, sometimes you go somewhere and, like, you got to go through the rounds sometimes of meeting someone who, like, is better for you than someone that you've already known. Like, if you had met that person before you decided to make somebody your common law wife, then sure. And yes, Wyatt Earp did a bad thing in the sense that he didn't like make anything like official, make anything legal, didn't like talk to her, didn't like even try. But also, you know, if everybody stayed with the first person that they were with when they decided that they wanted to be in a serious relationship for the first time, then I think we would all be living in different states right now.
I'm not saying you have to stay in an unhappy relationship. What I'm saying is end the relationship first, Wyatt.
Yeah, Wyatt. Filth.
So well, I mean, he didn't do anything. He didn't kiss her. He didn't he didn't lay with her. He was just like, he rode with her one time. Well, I mean, who knows what actually happened? Like,
that's what they want you to say.
That's what they showed us.
Well, okay, but I am reviewing a movie. I'm not reviewing real history.
Also, let's not gloss over her just sheer disrespect. And there was no way it was just a fortuitous meeting up there on their horses. Because the night before, she's like, who is that? And the guy's like, oh, you know.
Tall drink of water.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I think he's married. One. And she just starts laughing and then cut to her serendipitously being on his riding route and like, oh my goodness, we finally meet. And I'm like, oh my God, like, get out of here, disrespect. All right.
Well, you know, I mean, just saying.
No, also,
you wanted to talk to Russell?
I had
you
to look it up
first,
in that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Russell Tracy.
Cheating is okay. I'm just kidding.
Tune in next week, everybody, for our new show, The Advice Column with Danielle.
Especially because his wife knew what was up. She's not stupid. She knew what was going on. She saw it. And like, instead, he's just continuing to, like, you know, googly eye all over this woman he's spoken to once. And like, his wife is over there, like, literally drugging herself to death because she's so wrecked. And like, and she still cares. She's still running to him when she thinks he's injured. But he's not looking at her. He's looking at the dusky hued actress. And I'm just like, oh my God, I want to end it all.
She did.
No. But
Tyler, anyway, Wyatt Earp.
No, I had to look it up. I had to look it up because she was riding like side saddle in that whole scene. Like the horse was running and she was riding side saddle. And I was like, there's absolutely no way. I had to look it up. Apparently she just had a really awesome stunt double because that actress actually really sucks at riding horses. But I had to look it up. I was like, there is no way. And I still don't think they had her actually riding side saddle. I think they did the Princess Diaries. Let's trick her with the fake leg thing. There was no
way. What is side saddle for those who aren't horse girls?
So side saddle... So obviously there's the normal way to ride, and then there's side saddle, which is for ladies, where you're supposed to essentially, you know, like your left leg, or I guess it can be either leg, but I'm trying to picture a way to like describe it, is, you know, the one leg is down normally, and then the other leg is almost crossed back over to the same side of the horse, but you're still like facing forward. It's really, really difficult. Here, let me see if I can like find a picture of it and like send it in Discord.
That's kind of cool.
Because it's really hard to explain. But like, yeah, so especially the way that they had like her set up, I was like, they're doing the Princess Diaries thing. Because in Princess Diaries 2, she like fakes it and puts a fake leg under her skirt so everyone thinks she's riding side saddle.
That's incredible.
So I'm like, that had to be what they were doing. Yeah, okay, this is, like, kind of a good, like, just demonstration of what it's supposed to be. I mean,
if they had an incredibly talented stunt woman, then maybe not.
Well, that's what I was saying, is since it was, like, an actual really good, like, stunt person, that makes me think, oh, maybe it wasn't. Like, maybe it actually just was someone who knows how to do that, in which case I'm kind of jealous. But
I'm allergic to horses.
Well, that's yeah, weird. You very much are. Russell
would walk into Tombstone. Okay,
that picture
and
in Discord is kind of what it is.
Oh wow! Okay, I can imagine that's difficult.
Yeah, it's not easy. I've never tried it because I would fall right off. But yeah, that's what it showed her doing, and I was like, all right. But
I've never driven a horse before.
I would be riding side saddle so poorly.
Sad saddle.
Every horse with me is a sad saddle.
As Josephine Marcus is riding side saddle, Maddie Blaylock is riding sad saddle.
Facts.
Yeah, I would be riding side saddle so poorly that I would straight up fall off and die. Not because I'm riding it bad, but because I'm allergic to horses.
And you would just die.
Yeah, just straight up die. But no, so I mean, I don't know. I see it in a different light because I understand that feeling of being like, I'm with this person now, but there's like this like glowing, gleaming human who just like comes into your life and you're like, wow, I'm blindsided 100% by this. What do I do? And you're just kind of like carrying on, like thinking everything's okay. And then you're like, you know, I probably should do something about this.
Russell, which, for the last time, I am happily taken, but I really appreciate it.
Tyler.
Just
I'm gonna private message you later. We'll talk about this. For gosh sakes, not here.
Can we not talk about this on the stream?
You're embarrassing me.
We got some weird energy on this episode, y'all.
I adore it.
It's great.
Well, it feels like a podcast almost.
A podcast? Is that what you said?
No, I said a podcast.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So horses, anyway. Yeah. So,
well, I'm going past the horses. That's all I had to say about it. But, no, there was one thing that the plot's about to just skip over. I don't know if y'all noticed, but there was, I don't know if it was before the gunfight or after the gunfight. I think it was after, but I'm not positive. Sam can probably correct me. But the scene where they're in the bar and Sam Elliott, Virgil, is like standing behind the guy as the guy is just like threatening. And then he goes up, and the slap he delivers to the barman is the most ridiculous thing. It was so slapstick and hilarious.
Yes.
And I specifically wrote it down because it made me out loud laugh. Like, he slapped him so delicately with the back of his hand, and the barman did, like, such a big reaction, like, yes, throwing himself backwards into the wall. It was so funny. I could not write it down. It was too
I know
good.
Exactly what you're talking about. And it was so and for good. Him to follow up with, like, yeah, and I'll slap a bartender too. Don't think twice.
Like, it was especially weird because, like, it took such a long pause after the slap. Like, he slapped him. There were like two beats of silence, and then he keeps going.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it killed
remarkable.
Me.
Remarkable.
I have to highlight probably. No, I'm not gonna say that because there's a portion for the podcast for that later. I have to highlight the scene. Where Doc Holliday, it's right after the show, the performance, like where like the actors like go on stage and then like the orators are up there, and there is the scene where what was his name, John, what was his last name, the guy,
I'll pull it up. Not Curly Bill, but the other guy.
The guy who's like really like.
No, not Behan. Hang on, I got it. Johnny Ringo.
Where Johnny Ringo is like showing off, and like he walks up like to the group, and he's just, you know, like being super threatening and like intimidating, and he's like, and he starts this like routine where he's like flipping his gun around, and he's being like all fancy, and he like that scene goes on for like 3 minutes, and then Doc Holliday looks him in the eyes, has his pistol at his waist, takes his little drinking cup, the tiniest little drinking cup, and just starts doing the same thing, and just like just turns his whole threat into just like a dude, Joe, like, what are you trying to prove, man? I'm just here with my friends relaxing, like, you're not intimidating, bro, can you just leave?
That was so good.
That was
amazing.
No nonsense, that was the moment for me where Doc Holliday became the best character in the show, and I'm really glad that you brought that up, because like
an
incredible moment.
Because up until then, I was like, oh, okay, he's just, like, a drunk and, like, a gambler and, like, that's it. But then he did that, and I was like, okay, that's actually really awesome.
He's so freaking funny. And that was, oh, my God. I just wish I could, like, have that scene just be, like, my inspiration for being a human being.
To just have that level of levity, like, at your end of life, like, I just... Oh my God, the amount of respect that I have that person actually exists is just... I can't. He's so awesome.
So cool. Well,
and also, Doc Holliday was known as, historically, it was very amusing because basically the only person who liked having him around was Wyatt Earp. And so, really? Like, he would bring Doc with him everywhere, and everybody would be like, why are you bringing Doc? And he's like, because I like him. And they're like, fine.
I want to say early on in the show, even I want to say one of the Earp brothers makes a comment about how, like, oh, why are you still talking to Doc Holliday?
Yep.
It's like, because he makes me laugh.
Yeah,
good old dog. Oh my gosh, that scene was so incredible.
I gotta be honest, having no idea about the Earps or about like the historical context for the show going into it, I legitimately thought that they were setting up Doc Holliday to be a bad guy. Because his opening scene was him robbing people. Yeah. And I'm like, that's a bad guy thing to do. Is he gonna? And then he starts talking.
I think it was kind of almost setting up the whole nobody's really a good guy thing.
In hindsight, that definitely tracks. It's just for me not knowing what's going on and trying to learn everybody as the movie progresses. Seeing him do that, and then seeing him be close with Wyatt, I'm like, oh my God, maybe it's going to be those things with like they take out the cowboy gang and then but Doc Holliday was the bad guy the whole time. Like, oh, that's going to be that's going to be some juicy drama. I can't wait. And then that never happened. And Doc was just a great guy. And I'm like, wait, then what? Okay.
No, I kind of also thought that. People. Yeah, I definitely thought he was going to like show up. And when he pops up in Tombstone and is like, hey, and like saying hey to Wyatt, for a second I was genuinely like, are they friends or are they about to fight? Like, I couldn't tell from the energy.
I totally get it.
But we got to move forward. So, Virgil and Morgan are wounded, and the allegiance of County Sheriff Johnny Behan with the Cowboys is made clear. As retribution...
Another quick note, because this thing is skipping through it so freaking fast.
Well, because a lot happened. They can't
everything. I know. But I get why they made it the same night, because it's kind of what it is. But the Virgil and Morgan shootings were months apart.
Oh, really?
In real life. Yeah, months. It was.
Wow.
Morgan got killed like 2.5 months after Virgil got maimed in the arm.
The movie said, nah, we could do this at the same time. Let's go.
Let's compress it.
Which, I mean, you got to do. And they do it with the whole movie. You know, all these real life events took place over the course of like a year. And in the movie, it feels like it's 2 weeks. But, you know, I get why you have to do that for a movie like this.
Yeah.
Right.
How did he get maimed in the arm?
I thought it was like a shotgun.
Yeah, I think he just got shot in the arm.
We got a shotgun. Okay, because I'm sitting here watching it, and it's just like, Wyatt, my arm broke. And I'm like, wait, what happened? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, if for a second?
No, because
if for a second. Sorry, John, go ahead.
If you watch the entirety of this... Storm Saloon scene, you'll notice there's a cowboy waiting outside for him the whole time.
Oh, really?
Like it's the one that speaks Spanish to the priest in the beginning.
Watches him the whole time. Yeah. No kidding. I didn't catch that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's so not kind of cool. Gun violence is never cool, but I'm kidding.
Well, as retribution for the cowboy deaths, Wyatt's brothers are ambushed. Morgan is killed while Virgil is left handicapped. A despondent Wyatt and his family leave Tombstone and board a train, with Ike Clanton and Frank Stillwell close behind, preparing to ambush them. Wyatt sees that his family leaves safely and then surprises the assassins. He kills Stillwell, but lets Clanton live to send a message. Ike just kept making it out of these little skirmishes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I hated that character so much. I just wanted him to die.
Cowards always win.
He just kept always being the one that's left to live. And I'm like, Wyatt, just end this guy. He's been around too long.
Oh my gosh. I just wanted that man to just be out of the movie. And he just stayed for so long. Like every single time he was like this close to dying. And he runs away here. And then Wyatt lets him go with the train. And then he almost gets away again here. But at the very end, he got away too, didn't he?
Well, because he threw his red scarf down. It'll make you happy to know that about 3 months after that.
He died in a robbery.
He died in a robbery.
Yep.
Yep.
That was one of the things they said in the
they did say that in the movie. Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta steal Samuel's history thunder.
Well, no, they I did wanted say that. One. They did I wanted say at that least in the movie. One. They did say it. That in the epilogue of the movie.
I was just watching the movie. No,
well, Wyatt. Yeah, so he kills him, sends a message. Wyatt announces that he is a U.S. Marshal and that he intends to kill any man he sees wearing a red sash. Wyatt, Doc,
that poor guy who just thought it looked good.
He just puts it on. He doesn't know what it means. He's just like, this is kind of cool. Gets immediately shot. So Wyatt, Doc, a reformed cowboy named Sherman McMasters, Texas Jack Vermilion, and Turkey Creek Jack Johnson. Good lord, these names.
And in real life, also Virgil also joined, as well as their fourth brother, who's not in this movie, also joined this posse.
And I don't know why they didn't have Sam Elliott stick around. I don't know why you wouldn't want to have him in your movie.
I love me
more.
Some Sam Elliott.
But they all form a posse to seek revenge. Wyatt and his posse are ambushed in a riverside forest by the cowboys. Wyatt walks into the creek, miraculously surviving the enemy fire, and kills Curly Bill along with many of his men. Sam?
Yeah. Yeah. Did that actually happen?
Yeah. So historically, there are like 5 or 6 eyewitnesses that swear that Curly Bill fired 3 shots at Wyatt at point blank range. And when they all missed, he was so shocked that that's when Wyatt killed him.
What?
Yep.
Yep.
Wide Earp Jesus confirmed. That's wild. Holy shoot.
Also, I can't pass that scene without talking about the slow-mo Caesar-esque no. And then the shot, because that killed
yes.
me.
Yes. That was excellent.
That was very, very funny. And all I wrote down was LOL Caesar no, because that was just too close to that for me, and it killed me.
The thing that got me was him just grumbling, no. 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 No! And then he shoots him, which was excellent.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God. No, that was funny. But Curly Bill's second-in-command, Johnny Ringo, becomes the new head of the Cowboys. When Doc's
I'm wary of what'll happen when he takes over.
Oh, man, that guy.
He gave him a fair warning.
Let me give you some foreshadowing here. But when Doc's health worsens, the group is accommodated by Henry Hooker at his ranch. Ringo lures McMaster's... Yes. Ringo lures McMaster's into the Cowboys' clutches under the pretense of parlay, and then sends a messenger, dragging McMaster's corpse, to tell Wyatt that he wants a showdown to end the hostilities. Wyatt agrees. Wyatt sets off for the showdown, not knowing that Doc has already arrived at the scene. Doc confronts a surprised Ringo, who was expecting Wyatt, and challenges him to a duel to finish their game.
I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry.
And of the whole freaking movie, dude.
Oh, and it was even a callback, too, because he sets it up earlier in the movie.
They set up earlier when he's like, who's going to fight me? And Doc's like, I'm a Huckleberry.
And he just comes onto the porch, man. Oh, the character.
I mean, Doc Holliday said it best. We didn't finish our game, Johnny Ringo.
Yep. And the great thing is you see Ringo get, like, genuinely freaked out.
Yeah.
Like,
terrified because he knows he's going to lose to Doc.
He's like, no, we don't have to fight. We don't have to fight.
It's like, I'm going to lose to Johnny. Like, everybody is expecting Johnny to beat Wyatt in a duel. And then Doc walks out and is like, oh.
And Ringo's like, oh, no. Oh,
it actually really caught me off guard. Like, I fully and wholeheartedly was not expecting that.
No, me neither.
Same.
Which that is one of the things in this movie that is not historically accurate. Yeah, I'm sorry, boys, but that did not happen.
Oh, that's so dumb. Wait, what didn't historically happen?
No one really knows who killed Ringo, but they know it wasn't Doc.
What? That's so stupid. Ugh.
I have really it in the fun scene. Facts, like actually what historically happened, but it wasn't Doc.
Here's the thing. It might have been Doc.
It might have been, but there were no witnesses to prove if it was, and that's not what's historically known.
His body was found lying against the trunk of a large tree. A neighboring property owner heard a single gunshot the afternoon before, and nobody knows what happened to him.
Wow, that's crazy.
Be real. All right, headcanon. Do you guys think it was Doc?
No, I think it was somebody who knew the Earps, but I don't think it was Doc.
I don't think it was Doc.
Yeah, I think it was like, I think what probably happened.
It was the reason why it's in the movie is because that is a historical theory, is that it was Doc.
Oh, really?
So the movie didn't just make that up. There are three men who it's thought to have maybe killed him. Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday, and Michael O'Rourke are the three people who it's thought.
The Michael O'Rourke?
He wasn't in Tombstone. He's another historical criminal guy who worked with some with Ringo. And it's thought that one of the three of them killed Johnny Ringo. So it might have been Doc.
That's wild.
Well, he accepts Doc's proposal.
That's so sweet.
Wyatt runs when he hears a gunshot, only to encounter Doc, who has killed Ringo. No, that whole scene was awesome. The entire scene of him walking up and just that I'm your Huckleberry all the way to the end of that scene. I was obsessed with that.
He just like was in his face as he was dying. Like, come on, come on. He's just like, you ain't got the nerve, Ringo. I was just like, oh my God. Like I had chills, man. Like that whole scene was just so powerful. Like
especially he shoots him in the head and then he's still telling him, come on, like do it. Do what you said you were going to do. Like, come on, shoot me. And like, and so Ringo, like awesome. His brain is destroyed. So obviously he can't. And he just like falls to the ground and he's like, well, you ain't no Daisy. And just like keeps going on. So they press on to complete their task of eliminating the Cowboys, although Clayton escapes their vengeance again by renouncing his red sash.
If anyone's wearing a red sash, he's killing them.
I know, but then he throws off the sash and he's like, no, no more of this.
You were always a coward, Mickey.
Oh my god. But Doc is sent to a sanatorium in Colorado where he dies of his illness. Okay, does anyone know what it meant? Because I asked Sam and he didn't know. When he was dying and he looks down at his feet and he goes, I'll be damned, this is funny, yes. And then yes. Dies? What does that mean?
I do. I looked it up. So, because I okay. Genuinely didn't know and it was bothering me. So, apparently it's a well-known cowboy trope or fact of some sort that a good man should die with his shoes on. And why they didn't do a call forward, why they didn't do a call forward is beyond me. But they said a good man should die with his shoes on. And when he looks down and he didn't have his shoes on, he's like, well, ain't that funny? I don't have my shoes on. And then he dies. Which, again, made no sense. But I watched an interview with Val Kilmer who was talking about that. And that's what he said.
Okay, that makes more sense. Because I knew it had to be something.
Yeah, I do feel like maybe the choice to not kind of acknowledge that with like at least a call forward may have been the and this is total speculation, may have been the show writers trying to do like a little, like, if you're a cowboy and you get it, you know what I mean? Like, maybe yeah. That's
if
the
you
case.
Know, you know. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know, you know. So, so maybe that's the case. That's my headcanon for it at least. But yes, that's what it's referring to.
And then the last sentence, at Doc's urging, Wyatt pursues Josephine to begin a new life. And it ends very, it's a wonderful life. Like, it was so suddenly jovial. He, like, he runs up and they run outside.
To be fair,
and
at that
point,
his wife's dead, so, you know.
Did he know that? I doubt it, because he didn't care. He was going to do whatever he wanted anyway.
I did nothing wrong, confirmed.
Oh, my God. I'm heated about that. I'm so bothered by it.
Well.
Well, that was Tombstone, guys.
Yeah.
So, what would you rename this movie?
Mothers Against Opiates.
It's got to be just OK Corral. Shootout at the OK Corral.
So, I have a serious one and then a goofy one. So my serious one is based on Doc's line that I really liked, which was the last charge of Wyatt Earp and his immortals. So I would so my serious title would just be His Immortals. And then my goofy title would just be Mustaches, 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 Mustaches. And that's it.
That's a good one. Real. None of the mustaches in this movie were fake.
Nope.
I know. They were all real
really?
Mustaches.
Like, oh, yeah,
I really?
Yeah, everyone grew their own mustaches. Yep.
That's kind of epic. I'm not going to lie. That was an epic mustache win.
Yep.
I would title it Huckleberry Finn.
All right. Oh, that would be a very misleading title for everybody.
You would get some very confused and upset mothers.
Yes.
I'm going to take my kid to go see the new Huckleberry Finn movie.
Ah, why is everyone dying? What's an opiate? Stop.
An entire wedding party gets massacred in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
He's like, okay, we're going, Johnny.
All right, little Timmy, let's go watch the Huckleberry. Ah!
Oh, wow.
My stars and garters.
I'm so bad at renaming movies. So as I was saying how bad it was, I thought of one and it's probably horrible. I'm gonna say Last Stand of the Cowboys.
Okay. All sure. Right.
I give that three yeehaws.
Three yeehaws.
Oh, I don't want to go too far past without just calling out Doc's whole, like, really romantic first cousin longing. I know it was a different time, but when he was like, my first cousin was the only one I ever wanted, I was like, ooh, boy.
Yeah, it's like, Doc, stop. Just shh.
It was
stop.
A different time. That was normal.
I was like, Doc, you've already sold us on you. You don't need to give us any more. sorry, John, your turn.
I would have to say On a Pale Horse.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah, because of the goat death.
Because of the revelation.
I don't know if any of y'all picked this up.
So good at these renaming things.
I don't know if y'all picked this up either, but if you really think about it, Doc was Wyatt's Pale Horse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was...
He was the horse. He was the horse, not the... Yeah. He was the horse and Wyatt was deaf.
The whole movie.
He was the horse, Wyatt was deaf, and opiates were hell.
Yep.
Oh, my God. All right, well, I went on Amazon. The general consensus by viewers is glowing. 90% of viewers rated it 5 stars.
I don't blame them.
Wow,
do y'all want positive or negative first?
Let's do positive first and then negative.
Okay. So this one's from Winterbill : Ed Polly. And it's titled, A Modern Western Classic Never Gets Old. Being born in 1968 and having a brother who's seen every Western ever made, I have seen most all of them too. This is one of my favorites, along with Shane. This is amazing because this is a modern movie. I didn't know Hollywood still had it in them. I've read some critics who say this wasn't historically accurate enough for them, preferring Kevin Costner's Earp. I've seen both, and I'll take Tombstone every day of the week and twice on Sunday. It just has it all. Great cast, soundtrack, story, direction, and it doesn't ever bore. It's just an all-around great movie Western. I can't count how many times I've seen it, but it will be watched again. I promise. It never gets old. A classic. 5 stars.
Well, I'm gonna hold him to that promise.
Even if there are a couple of things that aren't historically accurate about it, it's still way more historically accurate than most Hollywood movies that claim to be based on true stories.
Yeah.
And you mean Clint Eastwood didn't actually want him to make his day? Damn.
Oh boy. Well, this is the negative review. I had to actually like search for negative reviews because a lot of the 1 stars just were like idiotic. So this is a review from Smith. It says, it's titled, "Okay, but could have been better. Seen it several times, gets worse and worse. Kurt Russell..." I don't know why on earth he said this because I didn't notice it if he was, but he said, "Kurt Russell, wearing eyeliner no less, doesn't command the role. Sometimes it's just silly. Seems like the heroes are always on the verge of the big gunfight where everything is finally settled once and for all. Not cohesive. Scenes seem to jump around and lose the central plot, then wander around until the big final gunfight. Val Kilmer was great. His girlfriend was a perfect fit. He managed to blend the serious with the humorous, so they fit. Ringo was good. Doubt I'll watch it again. Ha ha. 2 stars.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Smith.
Yeah, he wrote out ha ha exclamation point at the end. And apparently one person found that helpful. So what do you guys think this is rated critically on Rotten Tomatoes?
I think it's probably pretty good. I know this is a really well-known movie. I'm going to say somewhere around like 83%.
Okay.
I think Rotten Tomato. I think Rotten Tomatoes loves them some historical movies. It seems like whenever like a historical movie comes out that's like done like well, they're always just like, this is the best thing ever. So I'm gonna say like in like the low 90s, like 93, 92.
Okay.
I have historically, yeehaw, never gotten these right. So I will throw out a crisp, did someone say 87? I'll say 87%.
All right.
I'll say 89%.
Well, Sam is closest. It's lower than y'all think. It's 74.
Oh, ooh. Damn it.
And now audience score, also out of 100.
Well, then I think the audience score is probably around like 85% or so.
91.
How dare you?
Is that what you wanted?
I wanted 91.
We can share 91, John.
I'll share 91 with Tyler.
Okay, all right.
I will also share 90. I'm just kidding. I'm going to say 90. Well, I'm going to go one beneath you because I'm going to win.
Okay, friggin'.
No, you're not, Russell, because Tyler and John were closer. It's 94.
Yeehaw! John, we did it!
We did it!
That's my first win of ever doing this podcast. And I'm sharing it with John as God intended.
Yes.
Well, what do you think this is rated on IMDb out of 10?
Out of 10, 7.3.
7.8.
I'm going to give a nice clean 8.0.
No, that's going to be an 8.5.
Ooh.
Samuel, you got it exactly. 7.8 is the exact score.
Hey.
So the budget, you know what, actually, I'm not going to make y'all guess box office, but I am curious what you guys think the budget for this is.
I don't have a good idea just because of the, when it was filmed and all. I don't have a good idea. Because
it was in the early 90s.
Right.
But just based on the look and the stars that they had.
I'd imagine somewhere around like 100 million.
I think
y'all
this
are
was
shooting
a pretty...
to Robin Hood levels. All right.
I was about to say, like, this was a very ambitious movie. Like, there was a lot going on here. The amount of horses, the amount of work that had, like, the, all the sets and all the set pieces and, like, all of the practical effects, like, with the gun. I mean, that being said.
And it was also an ensemble cast.
Yeah, right. Like, so many people. So, like, I'm going to shoot for the stars. I'm going to say at least between 200 and 300 million.
I was going to say, I was going to shoot around 200 mil.
All right. Let's, you can do this. You can work it backwards and do the math in your head to get the answer. So there's, I looked it up, not the budget, but I looked it up. There are 40 horses in Tombstone. Okay. Everyone knows you take the number of horses, divide it by two, and then add, say, 10 million. So, or times it by 10 million. So we'll call it a crisp 20 million.
Well, you're far closer, Tyler. 25 million was the budget.
Yeah. You got to use the horse method. Yeehaw, cowboys. Let's go.
20 million?
Yeah,
you got to use the horse method,
the
guys.
I have no concept for what budgets are in any time outside of right now.
Because y'all were both like, oh, well, it's got to be like 20 or 30 million for Robin Hood. And then y'all are like 200 million for Tombstone. And I was like, y'all, hold on. Hold on a second.
I knew it wasn't 200 million. That was...
Well,
I think...
Don't
be ridiculous.
It made about twice that. Actually, over twice that. It made 56.5 million.
All good for them.
Yeah, so it did really well. So I got to look through these fun facts and make sure I don't repeat. So the line quoted by Doc at the end of the fight at the OK Corral is historically true and was reported in the Tombstone papers reporting the fight. When confronted by one of the cowboys at point blank range, the cowboy reportedly said, "I got you now, Doc, you son of a bitch," to which Doc gleefully retorted, "You're a daisy if you do."
No kidding.
Yeah, that wasn't made up. That's
what
he
line
actually
where,
said.
Where Ike runs up to Wyatt and is like, "Yeah, no, and he like throws him to the side, and he's all like, "The fight's commenced. So either get in it or get out."
Mm-hmm.
That was also a historical line.
That's so wild.
I'm telling you, the scene at the OK Corral, like, obviously it looks different, but like, it was very, very close to how it actually happened.
That's super cool.
Like, extraordinarily so.
I kind of respect that they're really trying to like shoot for the stars.
And that's what I was telling Danielle, is it would have been so easy to say, "Hey, let's make this a really cool looking, you know, choreographed gunfight." But instead, it looked messy because that's how it was. You know, it was very close range, a lot of bullets being fired really quick, a lot of the bullets missing.
Yeah.
You know,
You so try and aim a gun when someone's shooting at you and they're like 40 feet from where, like, no,
well,
it's scary.
The amount of shots I read like multiple times when I was looking things up last night was, was about 30 shots in 30 seconds.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's like famously what it was.
That's wild.
That's a lot of bullets.
Wow. Have you ever shot a gun? Imagine shooting that 30 times in that short. That's scary. I don't like guns.
I mean, I've unloaded a 12-round clip in about 15 seconds, so I can imagine.
Well, that's because magazines.
Well, yeehaw, partner.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how difficult it is to load?
Use it with a revolver.
30 seconds, and here's just a little bit of gun facts.
You got a fan
every
hammer.
One of those weapons that they were using. I don't think that any of them had the cylinder that popped out to the side. I think that like most of their weapons were had the cylinders where you would have the side port and open up, and you would have to spin the cylinder to load the bullets into a single.
You
want to
know how
chamber.
I know that's true? Is I actually watched one of them when they were so in the very first scene when they were shooting all the policemen at the wedding. When the firing stopped and everything was done and they were trying to get that guy on his knees, everyone started reloading their pistols and all of them, not all of them, but a majority of the ones who were reloading were doing the thing where they were like, they had to push the little lever to get the thing out. Yeah.
At the side port, man. Like, the holy side crap. Port. I have...
Where my side port users at?
I have one of those revolvers at my house. I would honestly pay... any of you $100 if you could reload 6 bullets in less than 10 seconds.
Oh, to be fair, I don't think any of them reloaded. It was 30 shots total, everybody combined.
Yeah, so it's like everyone like unloading all their stuff, they had multiple guns. And they had the shotguns.
Everybody unloaded all the gun, all the bullets that they had in their magazines.
One of them had a shotgun and two guns. Same time.
The Germans reload.
Yeah.
Okay, Samuel, I don't know if you knew this, since you have all the history facts. Of the lines that were accurate, one of them called out Doc Holliday when they were doing like a standoff. They called out Doc Holliday for not being able to shoot because he was drunk, and he pulled out a second gun. He's like, "I got two guns, one for both of you," which was awesome.
I really love that line. That was so good.
Accurate or not?
That was such a good line.
My headcanon is that that's real because that was actually ridiculously incredible.
I laughed so Johnny hard, Ringo. But like not that it was a bad line, but that it was just so good. Like I laughed. He pulled it out and said, "All right, well here's two guns." So
I pulled up a list of historical Doc Holliday quotes. "My hypocrisy only goes so far" is apparently one. "If you fellows have been hunted from one end of the country to the other as I have been, you'll understand what a bad man's reputation is built on. I've had credit for more killings than I ever dreamt of."
Wait, Samuel, I have an idea for us to do something a little fun. Post the list in the Discord. Everybody pull up the list, pick one, and we all have to do our best Doc Holliday impression.
Oh god. Oh boy. Oh no.
This is gonna be great.
This is going to be terrible. All right, well, while he's
remember,
doing that...
Remember, most if not all of us are in some capacity professional actors, so...
Oh, boy.
You can't preface it by saying that.
That's exactly why I prefaced it by saying that. So that everyone could be disappointed.
Well, while he's doing that, I'll read this next one here. So Val Kilmer has been quoted as saying that screenwriter Kevin Jarre insisted the actors wear real wool costumes in accordance with the time period. In the Birdcage theater scene, Val Kilmer says a thermometer on the set read 134 degrees Fahrenheit. Kilmer suggested jokingly that was the reason Doc Holliday killed so many people, and he's quoted as saying, "It's just like he wore wool in the summer in the Arizona territory, and that made him mad."
Understandably. Oh my god, that's horrid.
So there's not many quotes. I don't think it would be as fun as you would think it would be.
I disagree.
Unfortunately.
Fine. Hold on.
I mean,
Tombstone quotes.
Oh my gosh.
Why don't we all just
trying to look up historical quotes.
No, yeehaw. Hold on.
Why don't we all just do our best impression of "I'm your Huckleberry"?
No, get to work, people.
I was going to say, why not just do that?
Yeah, why don't we all just do our best impression of "I'm your Huckleberry"?
But it's already in the Discord. All right. Who's going first?
Russell.
Oh, my God.
Russell.
Why am I first?
No, John. John, this is your fault.
Yeah, John, you do this. You go first. Go. Best "I'm your Huckleberry."
"I'm your Huckleberry."
All right.
Nice. All right, I'll go next. Here we go. I promise I'm going to take this seriously, guys. "I'm your Huckleberry."
Nice.
Ooh, yeehaw, nice. Partner. Samuel.
"I'm your Huckleberry."
Okay, Danielle.
There's that southern accent.
Yeah.
There's that southern accent. All right. "I'm your Huckleberry."
All right, and I'm not doing it. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning into the podcast.
we ain't glossing by that one, boy.
I'm not doing I'm Your Uncle Barry. I'm going to do this one.
Yes, you are.
I pulled up this list. I'm going to read one. We're on scarymommy.com. That's real.
Oh, my God.
He says, taunting a card player who thinks he's cheating. Why, Ed, does this mean we're not friends anymore? You know, Ed, if I thought you weren't my friend,
Oh my goodness.
This is a disaster.
You can't even get through it, dog.
Sorry, the opium's starting to kick in, everyone.
Sorry, guys. My laudanum was kicking in that I took 20 minutes ago.
Oh, goodness, y'all.
Anyway,
Banterbox.
Wait, what'd you say?
So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Banterbox.
This is far and away one of the best episodes of Banterbox, and you all are welcome.
All right, y'all. Y'all are ridiculous, but we gotta keep moving. So Wyatt died in 1929, having never been so much as scratched by a single bullet. The fact his name is known above, for instance, Virgil's, the Marshal of Tombstone at the time of the famous gunfight, is largely due to Wyatt's self-promotion. Before his death, he walked in Hollywood circles, and John Wayne once claimed to have met him, apparently modeling his famous walk on that of Wyatt Earp. He was Mr. Big Man.
Happy Thanksgiving, really? Pilgrims.
No, I'm just surprised. Like John Wayne walk is like such a iconic like Hollywood moment, like a Hollywood thing, and the fact that he might have like modeled that off of Wyatt Earp is like really amazing. That's so freaking cool.
So I don't know if y'all were curious, but I do have the translation of what Johnny Ringo and Doc Holliday are saying in Latin.
Sweet!
In that scene,
I'm super interested in that.
So it seems like they're just like speaking back and forth almost in like proverbs. So Doc says, Sam, you can pronounce this better than I can. In vino veritas, which means in wine there is truth. Johnny Ringo says something that I can't pronounce, which means do what you do. Doc Holliday says something that means let Apella the Jew believe, not I. And then Ringo says something that means youth is the teacher of fools. And then Doc says something that means rest in peace.
Apparently, yes, he said in pace resquietca, Ed. He says in pace resquietcat or something like that. I'm not German. And it was awesome. Yeah. And it was rest in peace. And I learned that from Ezio Auditore in Assassin's Creed 2.
So you know who was the original choice to play Doc Holliday?
Who?
I'm scared.
Willem Dafoe.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! I want the alternate universe version of that movie so badly.
Well, apparently Buena Vista refused to distribute the film if he was cast because of Dafoe's role in the controversial The Last Temptation of Christ that had come right before that.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was going to cite Spider-Man, but all right.
No. So the guy who played Marshal Fred White was 62 when he played Fred White, who actually died at age 31. And then I've got a bunch of details on how Johnny Ringo died and how he was found. But we've kind of already gone over that. I just really liked how this line is typed here because it's so just random. Director George P. Cosmatos is quoted as saying that all lightning and mustaches were real. And I just love that those were the two things that he chose to specifically talk about.
Wow. It's a very high bar he set for himself.
I thought that was funny.
That actually really is interesting, though, because the lightning looked like fake in the sense that there was so much of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, so what he's saying is that the images of lightning that were filmed on location during monsoon season were all real, but like lightning effects in the acting scenes were fake.
Oh, because I'm like, lightning doesn't struck a million times in a second. Like it was literally just raining lightning that entire scene. And I'm like, I don't fully get, that's not how the storm works.
Good Lord. And the last one I have here, because I've already talked about the ghost director thing, how Kurt Russell was basically the real director. So apparently, Stephen Lang, the guy who played Ike Clanton, was drunk for most of the filming. So that actually tracks that his guy was drunk and didn't remember what was going on.
My man!
That's awesome. That's awesome. Especially since, like, I really could tell. Like, for the majority, I could really tell who, like, was actually drunk, like, in, like, some of those scenes and who wasn't. And holy crap, every time I was just like, wow, he's really good at this. I guess, you know, he isn't that good at this. Probably why he drank.
So we got a recast using each other. Who would we play in this?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I was playing Behan, and I stand by that.
Oh, Behan?
Yeah.
I have absolutely no qualms on the fact that I think Tyler is Doc Holliday, 100%.
Oh, that's really? Very kind. Thank you.
Right. 100%.
Thanks for the vote of confidence, Danielle.
Danielle goes, really?
Really? He sucks at acting. What the fuck?
Mark it down. That's not what I meant. F-bomb at 11:53.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I got excited.
Just because I think Danielle will resent me, I think Danielle is Josephine.
No. I don't accept it. You have to pick something else.
No. She's the only, like, interesting, like, female character.
Danielle can play all the women.
I don't want to play any of the women.
Okay. Well, then.
All right, fine. You can play Wyatt's wife.
You don't want to play Doc's wife? You don't want to play Doc's wife?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, that'd be a good fit, actually.
Oh, Doc's, like, Slutto wife?
She's so mad.
Yeah, that would be Danielle.
I'd be Slutto wife?
Yes.
Rip. No. Wow. I think Samuel would be really good at Ringo.
I actually agree with that.
I think Samuel would be good, Ringo. I think John would be a really, 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 really good. What is his name? One of his brothers, the older brother, Virgil.
Virgil.
I think you'd play the heck out of some Virgil.
Okay.
Oh man, if Samuel's cast as Ringo, I legitimately think, Russell, I think you would kill Wyatt.
Well, really? he already is siding with Wyatt, so you know.
You know who I was gonna say for John?
Who?
Who?
I think John would be Ike Clanton.
Ike Clanton.
Oh my goodness.
Guys, come on. Danielle would be a really good Ike.
Oh my God. Ike
Clanton. No, for real. Where would we put Danielle if she was going to be a guy instead of being pigeonholed as the women role?
Yeah, because there's like only three women in this and they're not very interesting.
Yeah. I think she'd be Morgan.
I would think she'd pull off a good Morgan.
Yeah.
All right. Morgan,
yes, but honestly, I see you being who's the Louise? Who's the guy? The actor guy.
The
actor guy. Fabian.
Oh yeah.
The little pretty boy. Which, by the way, did you guys? Okay, am I totally injecting things where they don't belong?
Or was he talking about how he was totally like in a little lover relationship with the other guy?
With the glasses guy.
Yes, agenda.
Sarah and I would not stop talking about how adorable they were, and that's my headcanon, is that was real.
I know, when he went up and he like took his hand and was like, I'm done with this, like when he was dead, I was like, oh my God, like this is a better love story than the other one. Can we focus
on
this?
I know, I'm more invested in them than I am the actual stupid nonsense.
Oh God. All right, well, favorite and least favorite moments.
Ooh. I mean, John, the you best... start us. Samuel, you start us off.
I was just gonna say that I don't have my least favorite yet, but I mean the best moment has got to be Doc stepping out from the tree and just
absolutely. I think across the board, that's probably gonna be most people's favorite moments. It's my favorite for sure.
No, it was great. But all I actually right,
but pick a different one. We all have to pick a different one.
I don't want to pick a different one. First. That was my favorite.
Well,
I think my favorite moment, aside from that one, which was great, was, I mean, it's Doc Holliday is the MVP, y'all. Just gonna say, facts. Doc Holliday doing the cup dance after the guy, like,
you salty Sander. I was gonna take that one.
That was just the best scene in the whole thing. And my least favorite scene, and this is the only really big problem I have with the movie, which is actually going to affect my score for it, is I loathe Hollywood movie scenes where I know all these men are using six shooters and they're shooting off 30 bullets and not having like a little bit of like a moment where you see him reloading bullets.
That Holiday shot a double barrel shotgun three times in the OK Corral fight. Facts.
That drives me up a friggin' wall, and I am
in the same boat.
Like every time that happened, that was my least favorite thing because the movie was really great. And then, oh my god, every time I just saw some guy with a six shooter firing off 16 bullets at a window, I was like, this is the worst. I want to close my eyes. That's my spiel.
Yeah, my least favorite was any scene with Wyatt's. Any scene with Wyatt and the love triangle, I really hated
Agreed.
It. I really, Agreed. Really hated it. It was real bad. I didn't like it. No me gusta. My favorite scene that's not the I'm your Huckleberry and not the freaking cup scene, which is what I was going to touch, was, okay, in terms of just sheer unbridled enjoyment, I'm not going to lie, third best scene was when he walks up and starts bullying that guy. In the very beginning, and he just starts slapping him over and over and over, and he's like, shoot me, you won't, pat, 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 and it's like, stop hitting me.
What are you gonna do, just stand there and bleed?
He's like, yes, I'm gonna go home and cry.
All right, Johnny boy.
I'm gonna have to give it to the initial I'm Your Huckleberry scene where Doc confronts Ringo whenever he's piss poor drunk and sloshed as all get out.
Yeah, and he says,
I want your blood. I want your soul. And I want it now. It's like, hey, I'm not going to fight you, Ringo. And then Doc comes out from getting a literal shave, gets up out of the chair and goes, I'm your Huckleberry.
Can we acknowledge that when John was quoting that, he sounded kind of like a funky Dracula? He's like, I want your blood. I want your soul.
And I want it now.
Clip it. Clip it. Clip it. I want that on the soundboard. Please clip it.
And what's your least favorite, John?
It's specifically one part, but it's right after Morgan's death.
Oh, where yeah.
Josephine runs up to him.
Oh my god.
And he just yells, get away. I hate it because it's so out of place for, like, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying it feels so out of place for the movie that it just takes me out of the moment for a second. Just ever so briefly, because it's so melodramatic. You're like, why?
I didn't mind the rain scene, like, as a whole, but that part,
that
I was like...
That one part, though, was like, yeah. Oh.
It was amazing in how upsetting it was.
The scene where...
Get away from me!
Morgan dies. The scene where Morgan dies, and he's just like, you know what I said about the light? Like, he's like, I don't wrong. I was wrong. I don't see anything. And I was just like, oh, my heart.
I know, that got me.
That was intense.
Honorable mention was Sam Elliott's character. Honorable mention real quick is the line from Virgil where it's like, don't worry, Annie, girl, I still got one good arm to hold you with.
Yeah. Oh, my
really,
gosh.
That was a good one.
That was so...
That was a really slept-on line. I'm glad you remember that.
I love that line so much.
And I was like, wow, look, a man who knows how to love his wife. But my favorite and least favorite have already been said. My favorite is it has to be the Forrest Huckleberry scene, and my least favorite is everything having to do with them trying to sell me on that romance. And Sam, your least favorite.
Yeah, come on, Sam. What is your least favorite?
I'm going to say, and it's not necessarily the movie's fault, but the theater scene, because...
You're real far away from the mic, babe.
Sorry. I'm going to say the theater scene, not because of necessarily anything that the movie did, but just because
the disrespect shown.
I know.
They were being so rowdy.
Yeah. I know.
The theater etiquette. They were firing their guns into the air in the theater.
Yeah, they were shooting.
All right,
the
well,
yeah.
Gentlemen, out of 10 Huckleberries, what would you rate Tombstone?
I'm gonna give it 9 out of 10 Huckleberries.
Wow, glowing praise.
I love this movie.
I'm gonna throw out 8 Huckleberries. It would have gotten like an 8.5 or a 9, but all the scene with the guns is just too much for me. 8.
Tyler, go ahead and give yours, and then you can roll on out.
Okay, so I honestly, it was a really enjoyable movie. Far and away above average, but there were a few things holding it back. I'd say 7.5 yeehaws out of the 10 Huckleberries.
Okay.
John?
I suggested this movie, and I'm going to stand by this statement. I'm going to give it a 9.9 Huckleberries.
Nice.
All right.
Respect.
I almost gave it a 10 out of 10.
Honestly. If it wasn't for the semi-melodramatic moments, I would have given it a 10, but 9.9, yeah. I think is sufficient.
For me, I was bothered by so much of the relationship stuff, and I do think it's a little bit, me and Sam discussed this, it's kind of a prerequisite to really, really love this movie to know what's going on before you go in, because I was so confused for so much of the movie, just not understanding like what it was building to and what was going on. So because I came in, I'm rating it from like, you know, from that perspective. I would rate it, for me, it's got to be like a 7 Huckleberries. It was still good. I just like, I'm not sure. I might watch it again. We'd see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But yeah, so just a reminder, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artists Entertainment or on Twitter at @artists_mad. We are working on the finishing touches for Call of Cthulhu, so we'll be putting up more stuff about that. Auditions are open for signups for Christmas Carol, our staged reading that's going to be happening in December. Samuel, what day are those auditions?
Those auditions are, I believe, November 27th.
November 27th. Yeah,
November 27th.
Yep.
Yeah, if you look on our social media or on our website, you can see a link to where you can sign up for an audition for that. If you're interested in it, it's very low commitment level, and it's just going to be a nice, fun time. You can visit our website, madartistco.com, for any other information. And if you have any comments, questions, corrections, or requests that we should review in the future, you can message our social media or email us at banterbox.madartists@gmail.com. Leave us a review wherever you're listening. It really helps us out. And we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.